In this mentor moment, Sahil Bloom shares how his definition of success has shifted from chasing financial outcomes to prioritizing the things that truly matter: time, people, purpose, and health. Discover why he believes money should be a byproduct, not the focus, and how this mindset has transformed his life and work.
So, what is your founder formula for success?
It's a good question. And I know that you always ask that to start these episodes. And I feel like other people have more well thought out versions of this, because it's not something that I think about. Like the word success, and even just like thinking about what is my formula, like I don't feel as though success is some end state that I've achieved. I can tell you what I work on a daily basis. And what I work on is the big picture of my entire life. So my old life, I really focused on financial success as the measure and really focused on building my life around that. Now I focus on several things, and very few of them actually have to do with money. It's really time, people, purpose, and health are the four main things. And for me, when I focus on those things, financial outcomes are actually a natural byproduct of the focus on those. So I don't need to focus on money, because when I'm focusing on my purpose, when I'm grounding myself in those actions, money is a result of it. And I make sure that I'm making time for those other things, for people, for my health, for the other things that I know allow me to operate at my highest level.
How do you describe yourself?
Very difficult. Probably one of the hardest things, actually, which is a funny thing to say is hard, but one of the hardest things about transitioning my life from where I was to where I am is that I no longer have the sort of easy cocktail party answer when someone asks, what do you do? You know, I used to just say like, oh, I'm an investor. You know, I was vice president at a private equity fund. It's very easy and it sounds nice. It's good status associated with it. Now I don't really know. I have a book coming out, so I suppose I would say author and entrepreneur maybe. I even hesitate when I say entrepreneur, and I even say it right there with like an intonation to it, because I still don't feel that way. I still feel like sort of an imposter building things. I don't feel like an imposter as a writer, maybe as an author, because I haven't actually published books in the past. This is my first. But as an entrepreneur, I think there's like, in my mind, entrepreneurs are, that word is reserved for people who have like started and sold successful companies. And the reality is that's not true. An entrepreneur can be, you know, someone who starts a local coffee shop, small business, big business, whatever. All of those people are entrepreneurs. It's people who are willing to take that risk and bet on themselves and go and build something. And I have done that. So I should say it proudly, but I would say it still makes me a little uncomfortable.
It's such an interesting observation, because I had an event 2 weeks ago now where I invited back every guest that's been on the pod, and a few of them emailed me and said more or less the same thing. Oh, I'll feel like an imposter there though, because I know so-and-so is going. And it blew my mind, because like, these are really successful people. Yeah. If you use success that barometer, you know, they've built businesses. To me, any founder is a success if they start, if they go from zero to one. Doesn't matter if you turn over 10,000 or 10 million, you've taken that step, because the biggest killer of businesses is you never start. You stay in that idea of like the when I fallacy.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's a few things. I have a few quick reactions. One is that imposter syndrome is a tax on personal progress, meaning it is the cost of entry for achieving personal progress and growth in life. Because by definition, when you are pushing yourself beyond your current competencies and pushing yourself beyond the boundaries of what you can currently do, you are going to be an imposter at whatever that thing is. Jeff Bezos was an imposter at starting an online bookstore before he started Amazon. He was a finance guy. He was an investor. He had never done that before. He was an imposter by definition. But then he went and did it, and so he was no longer an imposter. But just by nature of pushing yourself to grow, you are going to constantly be an imposter. And reframing that in your own mind as actually a positive signal that you're pushing yourself and that you're growing has helped me a lot. Because anytime I catch myself feeling like, oh yeah, I truly fit in all these rooms that I'm going into, I belong here, it's a bad thing. It means I'm not pushing myself to be in rooms that make me uncomfortable. And it's a trade-off, right? It's a balance. Like sometimes you want to remind yourself that you belong. I recently had an experience. I got invited to this event hosted by an author who I've admired for the last 10 years, and it was all of his like handpicked friend people that he knows and admires. And I went to that the first night, and it was this dinner, and I was so scared. It was like dinner, talking to these people. I really feel like an imposter.
When was this?
Maybe a month ago.
That's interesting, considering your success over the last 3 years. I think it's really refreshing when people like you say that.
Yeah.
Because
I mean, I'm around. It was all people who have like, you know, it's all like number one New York Times bestselling author, 5-time number one New York Times bestselling author, you know, $100 million venture fund. This, you know, entrepreneur sold a company for a lot of money. This person founded, you know, TED, whatever, like the most amazing people. And I was so nervous. I was like, what do I possibly have to say or offer these people? Like they've actually accomplished all of the things in my domain. I'm on the top level. I'm like at the baby level. And, I came away from that first dinner and I went back. I was back in my hotel room and I texted my wife and I was like, you know, I had this really nice sensation that I actually belong in that room. I felt like I held my own. Like I could contribute things. I had ideas. I had things that people seemed to care about that they thought were interesting. I had to like cold pitch my book. I just got called up and they were like, pitch your book to the group. And I'd never done that before in front of these people. And I was like, I pitched it and like people came up to me and they're like, oh, wow, we really liked how you said this. And so it was kind of a fun counterpoint to that feeling of imposter syndrome to have that sensation and actually recognize it and appreciate it in those moments where you do actually recognize that you belonged.
In the moment. At what point did you feel that? At what point of the night did you feel that?
Probably when I had to do that pitch because it was so cold that I didn't even have time to get nervous about it. It was like, here's the mic type thing and you have to just come up with it. And when I saw, as I was doing it, it was like a 30-second thing. As I was doing it, I saw a few people sort of like lean in, like the eyes light up feeling that you get when you can tell that a story or something that you said connected with someone and they lean in a little bit. And in that moment, I really did just have this sensation of like, oh, screw it. Like I was feeling nervous or scared or like an imposter, but like it's normal people. Like why not me on all of these things? And asking that question more regularly in your life, like when you're going out and you want to go do something, you want to start a business, you want to have an incredible outcome, or you want to write a New York Times bestseller, whatever the thing is, it's very easy to say like, you know, why me? Like, why would I be able to do that? I don't have the Harvard degree, or I didn't go to business school, or I didn't do this or that. All these reasons in your mind that you can't do the thing. And every time you ask that, flip it and ask, why not me? Like someone has to start the big business. Why not me? Someone has to write the bestseller. Like, why can't that be me? What did those people do that was so much better than me?
It's so interesting though, how we reset all the time. Usually my soundcheck question for guests is, what'd you have for breakfast this morning? And everyone giggles because it's such a normal thing. And they're just like, just had cornflakes or I had a coffee.
I get asked that question all the time because people ask me about my routine so often because I talk so much about my fitness.
But that's different for you because like we see your videos and you're like, okay, he's up at this time.
Here's what I eat.
He has hydration. He has eggs and beef. We know.
There's no cornflakes for me.
We're invested in it, right?
Yeah.
But usually when I ask people, they're like, and they giggle. And it's just a little, it just releases a valve in them because it's interesting, like everyone's nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've done probably hundreds of these, so you're not nervous, but a lot of the founders I've spoken to won't have done them. They'll have done incredible things in their life, but they won't have done many podcasts and they're nervous. So anything you can do to kind of like bring that tension down. But it's interesting, like it's like the analogy, there's always a bigger boat. You go to different rooms. Me and my friend talk about this all the time. The next room, moving towards the next room. So for you, you're moving towards the next room in life now. But it's interesting even to hear at your level, there's still that feeling of butterflies, nerves.